when you violate your conscience and do something that you know is wrong, what do you feel? You say, well, I feel guilty. Do you ever have the same guilty feelings when you don't do something wrong? Do you somehow feel the same overallness that something is not right even when you haven't done something wrong? Well, guilt is one of those areas of our life that all of us have to deal with, not just once, but throughout our lifetime. And many people really don't know how to handle guilt in their life, and therefore they go through all of their life suffering. Suffering over things they're not even aware of. Suffering in areas of their life that are devastating to them. And the basic root problem is the problem of guilt. And so that's the theme of this message, how to handle our guilt. Now, I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of 2 Corinthians. And the two verses here that you may wonder, well, what does this have to do with guilt? But I want to show you something here that I think might be helpful. In the 7th chapter, in the 9th and 10th verses, Paul is talking about repentance here and sorrowfulness. And in these two verses, I want us to read them and then we'll come back to them briefly. He says, I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, you're feeling bad about things, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. That is, he says, this grief that you have, the goal is repentance. For you are made sorrowful according to the will of God, in order that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death. A survey was taken of 500 people, and the question was simply this: when you experience guilt, what do you feel? And so this was the answer. The answer was, first of all, people felt, they said, we feel punishment or feel self-punishment. Secondly, we feel depression. That is, we experience depression, a sense of worthlessness, a low sense of self-esteem. And we sense or experience rejection and feelings of isolation. And if you'll think about it, any time you and I are feeling guilty, we feel fear of punishment, isolation, rejection, maybe some depression or feeling of worthlessness or self-esteem is diminished or shame. Those are the things that go along with feeling guilty. Now, many people do not know how to handle those feelings, and oftentimes they get those feelings confused with something else. And so it's difficult sometimes to distinguish between what is true, genuine guilt and what is merely feelings of guilt that have no basis whatsoever. Now, to be guilty of something is to be liable. That is, I'm responsible. But a person can feel guilty without being guilty. And along with guilt comes feeling of exposure, feeling of being found out, feeling of punishment. And there are two extremes. There's the extreme of the person who has absolutely no guilt, cannot feel guilt, a psychopath who's able to murder, to maim someone else and have no guilty feelings about it whatsoever. On the other hand, there is the other extreme of guilt where a person feels all the time this cloud of guilt that's sort of hanging over them. If you ask them, well, what are you guilty about? Well, I'm sure somewhere, and they have a very difficult time identifying specifically what the guilt is. If you ask them if they've confessed sin, yes. Repented of it, yes. But I still feel guilty. Guilty for what? And oftentimes it is very difficult to identify specifically what the root cause or what that guilt is. Now, let me just say in the very beginning here as we talk about guilt, let's look at the nature of it and examine it on the basis of whether a person is lost or whether they're saved. And remembering this, that if you look up in your Bible the word guilt, you're not going to find that word mentioned many times in the New Testament. In fact, a surprisingly few number of times will you find the word guilt. Now, you may find it more in the King James than you do in others, but you're going to find it a very surprising few times in the New Testament. And the three Greek words in the New Testament in which the word guilt is translated, each time it's always being liable for something, never a feeling of worthlessness, never a feeling of shame, never a feeling of rejection or isolation or fear of punishment. It's always because the person is liable for something they have done. Now, let's look first of all at guilt in the light of the person who is unsaved. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is, you've never asked God to forgive you of your sins based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary, you have a legitimate right to feel guilty, because the truth is, you are guilty of every sin you've ever committed. You say, well, but I've asked God to forgive me. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, asking God to forgive you is absolutely meaningless, because upon what basis are you asking Him to forgive you? There is only one basis upon which God forgives sin. And that basis is the fact that His Son, virgin-born, sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, died at Calvary, shed His blood, paid our sin debt in full. On that basis and that basis alone can sin be forgiven. And only when you accept Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, as your personal Savior by faith in confession and repentance of your sin, only then is your sin forgiven, and only then can you claim the forgiveness of God. So that a person who is an unbeliever has a right to feel all the guilty feelings they feel. All of them are legitimate. Whether it is for specific sins that they've committed, the sin of unbelief, of rejecting Jesus Christ, the sin above all sins, or whether it's those feelings they have they cannot identify, a person who is unsaved has a legitimate right to feel all the guilt they feel, because the truth is, they are guilty. Now, the only solution to that is the grace of God, which is provided through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But now, what about the believer? What about the believer's feelings about guilt or feelings of guilt? Well, you know, week after week, month after month, year after year, you've heard me say the same thing over and over again, and probably turned in the same direction when I've said that the death of Jesus Christ is the all-sufficient, sacrificial, atoning death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whose death at Calvary paid our sin debt in full. I say that week after week after week after week. And sometimes you probably wonder, well, why do you keep saying that? Because it is the bottom line, it is the foundation, it is the crucible truth underlying every other single truth in the Word of God. And the application of that truth in your life and mine. And today is a good example in the message, How to Handle Our Guilt. Now, I want you to turn to several verses that I know you know by heart. I want you to look at them again, because what I'm going to say, you need to reaffirm the foundation of this truth in your life, or you may have a difficult time accepting what I want to share with you, because not because it's not the truth, but because it is an antagonism to your feelings. It is difficult to accept what our feelings so strongly object to. So let's talk about the believer's guilt for a moment. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, which you know so well. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in this particular chapter, in this simple verse that all of us know, Peter reminds us of what happened at Calvary. Now, you've read it before, but I want us to read it again. Look at this. Verse 24, 1 Peter chapter 2. And He Himself, that is Christ, bore our sins in His body on the cross. Jesus bore our sin. And with our sin, of course, was our guilt. He bore all of that in His body on the tree. Now, I want you to turn back, if you will, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and look, if you will, in verse 9. Verse 9 says, "Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him." Much more now being justified by His blood. Now let's think about what God is saying. Jesus Christ bore all of our sin, which means all of our guilt, upon His body on the tree. Which means that Jesus Christ paid our sin debt in full. If He paid our sin debt in full, we are no longer what? We're no longer guilty. He says in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, therefore being justified, and to be justified means on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary, God the Father, because of the death of His Son, and through the placing on His Son all of our sin, God the Father has declared us justified, which means no longer guilty. According to the Scripture, the believer is not guilty. Now stay with me. 1 John, look if you will, 1 John the Epistle, 1 John chapter 2, and the first two verses. You recall, John is writing here, and he's just been talking about sin, and he says, chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, that is one who pleads our cause. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And He Himself, not was, is the propitiation, the sacrifice. He is the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The difference is that those of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, His payment for our sin has been applied in our life, and therefore we are no longer guilty, and we have become free by the grace of God. Now, with all that in mind, let's think about something. If Jesus Christ paid my sin debt in full, when did He do it? 2,000 years ago. All of my sin was future tense. And when He died, God the Father placed it all upon Him so that the moment I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, the Bible says, you and I become a child of God. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now, what now? Now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, through the death, through His atoning death at Calvary, all of our sin was atoned for. We have been declared justified. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ is continuously cleansing us from all sin. And now, being a child of God, we are walking in the love of God. We are walking under the umbrella of the love of God. We are walking in the unconditional love of Almighty God, which can never be changed. Now, therefore, there can be no condemnation to those who've been declared not guilty. That is, condemnation and wrath rest upon those who've been declared guilty. Condemnation, according to the Scripture, John 3:18, John 3:36, both of those speak of the condemnation and the wrath of God that abides upon those who rejected His Son. There's not a single verse in the Bible that says to those of us who are believers, you should feel depressed, you should feel punishment, you should fear it, you should feel isolated, you should feel worthless, your self-esteem should be dragging on the ground because look what you've done. There's not a single verse in the Bible to imply that. Those of us who are in Christ Jesus are no longer condemned and are not under the condemnation, the wrath of God, but we are walking in the love of Almighty God provided for us at the cross. Now, here is our biggest problem. Listen to me carefully. Our major problem when it comes with guilt is that our understanding and our concept and our vision of who God is and what He's like is so totally unbiblical. And what we've done is we've brought God down to our level, and so we act as if God would act toward us like we would act toward someone else. And so therefore, we feel better feeling guilty because, after all, we certainly aren't everything we ought to be, and therefore, because we've not lived up to our expectations, to God's expectations, and because we failed so many times, sure, we ought to feel the way we feel. God doesn't say that. You remember what Jesus said as He stood up and read from Isaiah that morning in the synagogue? He said, I've come to set the captives free. But millions of the people of God are bound in the captivity of guilt. And these are feelings of guilt, not legitimate guilt, feelings of guilt. Now I want you to listen carefully, and I want you to think about the truth of God's Word before you let your feelings get the best of you. Because many of you are thinking, I know I'm guilty because I can name all the things that I've done. The Bible says that the believer's sin has been atoned for. Jesus died for it once and for all. You have been declared, listen, not by your feelings, you have been declared by Almighty God justified, not guilty. The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you continuously from all sin. And Jesus Christ sits at the Father's right hand making intercession for us. We are the redeemed children of God, having been declared no longer guilty, imputed to us. That is, laid to our account, applied to our account is the blood of Christ, which means we're not guilty. Now that does not mean that you and I will never sin. It does not mean that you and I will not fail and make mistakes and sin against God. When we do, we are responsible to confess that sin. We are responsible to repent of that sin. And we are responsible to accept God's discipline in our life if He chooses to send a particular discipline. We are to be willing to accept that discipline as God's corrective measure in our life because He loves us. There is not a single verse in the Bible that says that you ought to feel depressed. You ought to feel rejected. You ought to feel worthless. Look what you've done. Not a single verse in the Bible to imply that. In Christ Jesus, we are the forgiven children of God. So I'm not here to say to you, well, you can just sin any old way you please. You've heard me enough to know that I know that that's not true, and that God's divine hand of discipline oftentimes has a very strong sting to it. But His purpose for doing so is not to punish us. God's corrective discipline is just that. Corrective discipline in order to correct our behavior that we may listen, that we may continue to live out who we really are and allow Him to live through us the life He is. And so God's purposes are always to edify, never to destroy, and never to diminish our sense of worth. How is it on the one hand in Ephesians chapter 2 when he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, all of the grace of God, not of man. Then he says, for we are His workmanship. He says, we are persons of notable excellence. How on the one hand is God going to say to us, who disobey Him at times, you're persons of notable excellence, my children. And on the other hand say, I'm going to get you, I'm really going to get you this time. That is totally, totally unbiblical. God isn't up in heaven waiting to pounce on us for the next thing we do wrong. Because the Bible says He's declared us not guilty. And some people have the idea, once they sin, after they have asked God to forgive them, then they got to start all over from scratch. That is, we got to start all over again. The Bible says that you and I have been forgiven by the grace of Almighty God. There's not anything you can add to your forgiveness. Listen, forgiveness is not based on confession, but the blood of Jesus Christ and our acceptance of His Son. The place of confession is that it restores my fellowship. The place of confession and repentance is it brings me to the realization that my behavior is not in keeping with who I am, being in Christ as a child of God, and must be corrected and must be willing to accept whatever discipline God sends. We're the forgiven children of God. But in spite of that, we still have guilty feelings. And those guilty feelings are very devastating. And the truth is, those feelings come from areas of our life that some people have a very difficult time identifying. Now, I want to say in the very beginning here, I'm not going to tell you that you'll be able to spot instantly the source of those feelings of guilt that you may have as a believer. But what I want you to see is that from God's viewpoint, every single believer is what? Not only forgiven, but the Bible says we are made righteous by the presence of the living Christ within us. Who are we? We are the redeemed, forgiven, reconciled, justified, glorified sons and daughters of the living God, walking under the canopy of His everlasting and eternal grace, living in the sphere of God's unconditional love, indwelt by the person of Jesus Christ as our Savior, our Lord, and our very life, Christ being our sufficiency for everything, having been made absolutely and totally complete in Him, that's who we really are. And on the basis of that, we are not guilty sinners. We are saints who falter and who fall and who sin and who make mistakes. But we are still the forgiven children of God. Now, I know that you have guilty feelings about things just like I do at times, and I have to deal with them. And all of us go through life. And so let's think for just a moment. What are the causes of those guilty feelings in our life as believers? Well, sometimes it's sin. That is, when you disobey God, what happens? You feel it. What is it? It is the Holy Spirit convicting us of our sin. And so people have feelings of guilt because of sin in their life. Here's a person, for example, who's had an abortion. No matter how many times she's asked God to forgive her, she still feels guilty. How many times did she have to ask? Well, if she was a child of God, her forgiveness was all taken care of at the cross, and she comes to confess and repent of that act and accept God's divine discipline and move on in life, not wallowing in the self-pity and self-punishment and self-judgment and depression and worthlessness and shame that Satan would put upon her. You say, are you minimizing the sin of abortion? Under no condition. I am magnifying the grace of God. And there's a lot of difference. Here's a person who's committed murder. And most Christians would say, shame. How's God going to forgive them? I'm going to tell you how. The same way He forgives a little 9-year-old boy who walks this aisle and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. The same blood that takes care of a 9-year-old boy's sin is the same blood that takes care of a 65-year-old murderer's sin. It is the grace of God. You see, our problem is we don't understand how loving God is. We think, how could God love anybody who acts that way? Let me ask you a question. Is the man who commits murder of an innocent victim any more guilty of sin and evil than any one of us who grows up, listens to the gospel for 40 or 50 years of our life, rejects the Lord Jesus Christ all 50 years of our life, receives the blessings of God, accepts all the good things that come our way, and die and absolutely refuse to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? Now who is the most guilty? You see, it's our judgments, not necessarily God. And so, guilty feelings come because of sin. But then there are those guilty feelings that come as a result of our childhood, things we grew up with. For example, here kids who grew up in a home where there's a divorce. So often, children feel, I didn't say they were, they feel guilty. Well, it must have been something I did. If I had just done better, maybe my mom and my dad would have stuck together. When a child grows up in a home and they don't feel love, they naturally feel guilty. Well, I must have done something. And it may not be anything that child did. Those parents were insensitive, careless, indifferent, too busy to love their children. So what happens? Children grow up in a home and they don't feel love, and so they feel guilty. Or a child doesn't live up to his father's expectation on the football, the baseball field. And a poor kid feels guilty. Don't get the grades that their parents expect. They feel guilty. I failed. I haven't lived up to the expectation of my parents. Or the feelings that we have that we've disappointed God. All of us have had those feelings. I've disappointed God. That is before we understand that you can't disappoint somebody who knows everything anyway. And therefore, if He doesn't have any expectations of you, you can't disappoint Him. I'm sure I grew up thinking so many times, I've disappointed God. And I'm here to tell you, the day it dawned on me, and I don't know how it dawned on me, I realized you can't disappoint somebody who doesn't have any expectations. Praise God, I got over that. But then there's those feelings that you have because you disappoint your friends. You don't live up to their expectations. You don't live up to expectation in your business. And maybe you fail and you say, well, you know, I failed and I feel guilty. I feel guilty before my wife. Or you may have gotten fired and you feel guilty with your husband. You need the money and you had a job and somehow you must have blown it. And so you feel guilty, and kids feel guilty with their parents, and parents feel guilty because they can't give their children everything they think they ought to have. How many times have I heard parents say, well, you know, if I could have just given my children more, and they feel guilty. And sometimes parents have done the best they know how with their children, and they love God, and they've tried to be a good example. And sometimes their kids get off in all kinds of sin, and they feel guilty. Well, it's my fault, and I'm sure if I'd have done so and so. Not always. And then there are those little feelings of guilt that come from nowhere. And I remember on one occasion my wife and my mother were going to get together and give me something. I thought, no, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to give it to me. And sometimes the way we grow up, if we don't have anything, it's real hard for us to accept anything. And then it's real hard for us to do anything for ourselves. It's totally false guilt. I don't deserve it. Why? Well, I must not deserve it because I never did have it. And so that's our basis of thinking. And how many fellows have said, well, you know, I'm really in love, but I don't deserve her. Now, that's a good way for a man to feel about his wife. But on what basis do you not deserve it? If God chose her for you, thank God. Don't talk about what you don't deserve. And sometimes the reason people fail is because they feel so guilty about what? Well, they can't identify it. Well, I just don't feel like I deserve these kind of breaks in life. Why not? You didn't deserve salvation either, but God gave it to you. And so, you see, we go through life, and I'm certainly not being critical, because, friend, I'm telling you, I've had to deal with a whole lot of this junk in my life. Feelings that I couldn't identify. Feelings that I couldn't isolate. Feelings that my mom or my wife would say to me, well, now, why do you feel that way? And I'd say, well, I don't know, but that's the way I feel. No justification whatsoever. Just feelings. And my friend, totally unbiblical, totally unscriptural. And I have to be honest to look back and see all the years of my own life. My view of God for a long time was that God was just watching. What a terrible bondage I was in. Fear. Guilt over what? Trying to be obedient to God, as obedient as I knew how to be, but feeling guilty all the time. Feeling guilty of what? Well, I must have messed up somewhere, and I'm sure God, I don't know where it is, but God knows where it is. What a terrible form of bondage. But some of you are exactly where I've been. And if I should ask you, do you feel guilty today? First thing you do is look back in your life and say, yes, I can remember something back there that I did that I still feel guilty for. And you know what we do? Here's what we do. It's terrible. We get on the knees and we ask God to forgive us. You said, you believe the Bible? Believe every word of it, Genesis to Revelation. Believe it all. Get on your knees. Ask God to forgive you for something specifically that He's brought up in your life. Ask Him to forgive you. Thank Him for it. Get up and walk away. And what? 10 minutes later, you're feeling guilty. Well, did you ask God to forgive you? Yes. Did He forgive you? Yes. Why do you feel guilty? Don't deserve forgiveness. Friend, nobody deserves it. That's not the issue. What makes us not guilty is the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ renders us not guilty. And here's what we do. We pray and we pay, and we pray and we pay, and we pray and we pay, and we pray and we pay by punishing ourselves in some foolish ways, and sometimes serious ways, even after we've asked God to forgive us. Notice I said feelings of guilt, not true guilt, false guilt. Don't measure up, therefore, must be guilty. Haven't done everything just right, therefore God must be displeased. And if I should ask today, how many of you honestly and truly, emotionally feel the love of God, we may be shocked at how few people could say, yeah, I really feel God really loves me. And how many folks would say, well, Well, I know he does, but that's not the issue. Not the issue is not no. The issue is, do you feel? Can you experience the love of God? And you see, feelings of fear, of feelings of guilt, usually are focusing us back on the past. What happened back yonder, way back yonder, or yesterday, or our inability to live up to somebody else's expectations, and so what happens? All kind of things begin to transpire. So let me just give you a list of things that you might just examine in your own life to see if any of these are there, because when a person is living under the feelings of guilt that have absolutely no basis whatsoever, let me say once again now, if you and I sin against God, we should confess it right then, repent of it, thank Him for His forgiveness, and move on. But you know what we do? Here's what we do. We ask God to forgive us, and then we like to have ourselves a little pity party. And we sort of enjoy shaming ourselves and punishing ourselves and feeling bad, because what we want to have enough of this until we finally think, I've paid myself off. Now, when your child disobeys and you don't discipline that child, what do? They're going to do some more. They're going to keep disobeying until you finally get out the paddle or something. Whew. Now they feel better. Why? Because they paid off their guilt. And especially when they've done something wrong that you don't know about, I guarantee they're going to finally do something that you do know about till they finally get disciplined so they can feel better. We do the same thing to ourselves. Now, what we do, though, is we go through life punishing ourselves again and again and again and again for the same old thing that God forgave us for 2,000 years ago, and that forgiveness was applied the day we received Christ as our Savior. Somehow we enjoy the self-punishment. It makes us feel better. Now, I want to show you the folly of this. Now I feel better, punish myself. Now I feel more acceptable before God. Listen, the only thing that makes you acceptable before God is not punishing yourself, but the blood of Christ. I want to say it again, that's the only thing that frees us and liberates us. You can punish yourself, you can deny yourself, deprive yourself, have nothing, be nothing, live somewhere, shut out from the world, meriting what? Nothing. Because nothing you can do can merit forgiveness. Nothing you can do can merit the love of God. Nothing you do can merit the forgiveness of God. All of that came through the cross of Jesus Christ. And the very idea that I think that I could ever suffer enough to merit anything from God is pure pride. Why do you think the lost man says, you mean to tell me all I've got to do is accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and be forgiven of all the things I've done? No way. So what does the lost society do? They try to do things good here and give here and be kind over here. You know what they're doing? They're trying to merit forgiveness. Now, all along, they're still feeling guilty. They think, well, you know, if I do enough, I'm gonna get over this. And one of these days, I'm going to feel better. They never feel better. You see, all guilt has to be resolved one way or the other. It either gets resolved between God and me and myself, or it's going to take its toll somewhere within a person's life. So, what happens when a person does not know how to handle these guilty feelings? Well, number one, it divides your mind. It always divides your mind. When a person is feeling guilty, that process is going on all the time inside of that person. Divides the mind. Secondly, it will drain your energy. When you are feeling guilty and you're experiencing those feelings of guilt, makes no difference what the cause is, what happens? It drains your energy. Number three, you will find a way to punish yourself because you feel like you deserve to be punished. And so you will punish yourself in some way. You won't even realize that it's self-punishment, but that's what happens. Then the feeling of insecurity will come. Well, God's going to lower the boom on me one of these days. God's judgment is certainly coming. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. I'm sure I'm going to be found out one of these days. And so we continually punish ourselves, and insecurity is part of it. And then, compulsive activity. Why is it some people can never stop? They can never stop and get on their knees before God. Never open the Word of God quietly. Never get alone before the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because if they do, they're going to have to face some things in their life. And so they compulsively keep active all the time. Busy, busy, busy. Drive, drive, drive. Never stop. No time to be quiet before the Lord Jesus Christ, simply because they can't deal with silence. They can't deal with stillness. Why? Because the guilt is so strong within them. And the feelings are so painful. And listen, let's agree that guilt is a very painful experience. Whether it is false guilt or true guilt, it's still painful. Then there is depression. When a person does not know how to handle guilt and continues with it, they're going to get depressed. And here's the problem. The problem is with depression, if it is a depression that is based on past and not just an isolated chemical thing, and I'm sure there's some of that, but the vast majority of it, I believe, is past guilt. And what happens is this. When guilt is unresolved in my heart, something happened back yon in the past that I absolutely will not face, will not deal with, will not say, yes, that is what I did, that is what happened in my life, I was guilty of that, I am unwilling to resolve that, then depression is a part of that person's life. Unresolved guilt. And what do? They keep judging themselves, condemning themselves. And so their conclusion with life is this. Because this happened in my past, I'm not worthy of your love. I'm not worthy of your kindness. I'm not worthy of you being sweet and loving toward me. And so you know what those people do? They act in such a fashion, it is very difficult to love them. It is very difficult to be kind to them. It is very difficult to do anything for them. They don't deserve it. And see, their whole life is wrapped up in just capsule, isolation, unworthiness, self-punishment, and feelings of shame. I should have known better. I should never have done that. And the same person will get on their knees and cry out to God for forgiveness. And if you ask him if they believe the Bible, they'll tell you they believe the Bible. But they can't, listen, they cannot let go the past. And the guilt is so strong, they just can't let it go. My friend, you can take all the pills and all the medicine that any doctor, any psychiatrist can give you. And if the problem is unresolved guilt, whether they're guilty feelings, or whether it is something actually done back yonder somewhere that you have not resolved in your heart, no amount of medicine will ever get you over depression. It is the will of God that you and I resolve all guilt. And there are multiplied hundreds and thousands of God's people who are absolutely useless to the service of God. Gifted, talented people who could do so much in the kingdom of God. But they cannot, they will not, because they feel so guilty and feel so unworthy because of the past. My friend, if you've been saved by the grace of God, I want to tell you, it doesn't make any difference what is in your past. The thing that's important is not what's in your past, but what God placed on Jesus at Calvary 2,000 years ago. That is the key. And all of your sin and mine was placed on him, and all of our guilt. He paid the price. I can't pay for something he's already paid for. You're not going to be tried for the same crime twice. And God loves us. He knows we make mistakes. He knows we fail and we falter. And he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. The only thing that brings condemnation is guilt. If I'm not guilty, not condemned. You say, now wait a minute. You mean to tell me if you sin against God, you're not guilty? I say, my friend, according to the scripture, because of our position in Christ Jesus, when you and I choose to sin against him, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit smites us with conviction, brings us to confession and repentance. And if we don't, God's disciplined hand will indeed discipline us continuously until we do. But Jesus paid the penalty of all my guilt. I am righteous not because of my behavior, but because of who we are. We are the forgiven, redeemed, blood-bought sons and daughters of the living God, and most of the things that we feel that fall in the category of guilt is false. because Jesus paid the price. He said, no, you mean to tell me that I am not guilty? Not guilty. Does that not free me to sin? Never. It should magnify the grace of Almighty God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the atoning death, and the motivation should not be sin, but obedience and righteousness, walking before God, uprightly before Him, motivated not by duty, but motivated out of a loving Father who could love me so much to take all of my guilt, past, present, and future, and pick me up at any moment and say, my forgiven child, walk on. That's the grace of God. People who've been through divorce, abortion, all kinds of painful, deep, crushing, separating, dividing experiences. I want to tell you, my friend, by the grace of God, if you're saved, you have been forgiven forever. You're not walking around with something on your forehead. You're forgiven forever. Doesn't mean there won't be difficulties and heartaches. A woman who's had an abortion, she's going to have some troubles. Now, here's the thing you have to remember. You have to distinguish between the punishment of God and, listen, the natural consequences of our sins. The punishment of God is God's vengeance taken out on evil, which He doesn't do to a child of His. But there are some natural consequences of sin that confession and repentance are not going to erase. So we have to deal with them. So what do? Do we just mire up in self-punishment and rejection and isolation and worthlessness and feeling shame to no one's good? Or do we assume our position in Christ Jesus as the forgiven sons and daughters of God, thanking Him for a grace we cannot understand but can experience, and move on in our Christian life walking obediently and uprightly before Him, expressing the grace of God and weaving our faults and our failures into lessons that will help other people? Let me ask you a question. What contribution do we make to the kingdom of God, to the work of God, to ourselves or anybody else, walking around in the muck and mire of our own self-pity? Not one bit. It's totally unscriptural, totally unbiblical, and totally unbefitting to a child of the living God. Now, then of course, when a person is experiencing feelings of guilt, we are focusing on the past. That's another thing that happens. A desire for punishment. A loss of self-respect. Well, if I could have just somehow succeeded at that, and so we berate ourselves for our failure. Hinders our prayer life. Then there's physical illness. Person doesn't know how to deal with guilt. You know what happens eventually? Physically, somewhere, it's going to come out. And the ultimate reaction to guilt is separation from God. For the unbeliever, if he doesn't resolve his guilt through the cross of Jesus Christ, he's going to hell. It's his own choice. For the believer, if we don't resolve it, what happens? We just go through life, punishing ourselves and suffering unnecessarily. Now, here's the key. How do we get release from this guilt? Well, let me say, first of all, to those who've never trusted Jesus, there is absolutely no release of guilt till, first of all, you confess that sin of unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ as God's only atoning sacrifice for you, your sin. Accept Him as your personal Savior. Step number one. Then you'll have to deal with some feelings of guilt over your past, which I want to talk about right now. That's step number one. But what about for the believer? I want to distinguish, if I can, between the difference what guilty feelings do to us and what the conviction of the Holy Spirit does, because we get them confused. So you probably can't jot these down. This is not original with me. And as I was reading and came across this, I thought, God, what a beautiful description and what a beautiful distinction, so we can understand conviction versus guilty feelings that do not come from God. All right. Guilty feelings will cause us to feel depressed and despair. The conviction of the Holy Spirit will lead us to the realization that we are forgiven. Guilty feelings lead us to focus on our condemnation and our deserving punishment, whereas conviction of the Holy Spirit leads us to correct our behavior. Guilty feelings lead us to a loss of self-esteem. You're nobody. The Holy Spirit leads us to the realization that what we've done has cost us our fellowship with God and it needs to be corrected. Guilty feelings will cause a fear of punishment. The Holy Spirit leads us in conviction to fear what happens as a result of the consequence of that sin in our life and therefore motivates us to correct it. Feelings of guilt will lead us to separation. Feeling separated from God, banished by God, isolated from God, the Holy Spirit convicts us to do what? Convicts us to restore that fellowship immediately through confession and repentance. The remedy for guilt is the blood of Jesus Christ. The remedy for feelings of guilt through the power of the Holy Spirit is what? It is confession, repentance, and the willingness to accept God's disciplined hand in our life. Now, it all boils down to this. If I'm going to get free of my guilty feelings, I must acknowledge, yes, I do have them. Yes, I do have guilty feelings. Secondly, I need, if possible, now listen to that if. I need, if possible, to be able to identify what is the cause of that guilty feeling. Now, I want to say right up front at this point, it may be very difficult for some of you to be able to identify that. So I want to say to you, please do not hesitate to find yourself a godly counselor. Not just any kind. Not just some secular person who doesn't believe in God. Not someone who doesn't know Christ. But find yourself a godly counselor who will help you look at your life and find out what is it and what was it back there that caused you to start having these feelings of guilt. It may be sin back there that's never been resolved in your thinking, in your mind. It may be feelings that your parents heaped upon you. It may be something that happened back there that made you feel worthless. Do you know that when I was in the first grade, I was only 5 years of age? That's 52 years ago. And just crossed my mind when I said what I said just then. I can still sit. I was only five. I know how old I was because I know who my teacher was. 5 years of age. And I walked out of the door of that classroom, and my teacher said to another teacher, "I like Charles." I couldn't tell you anything that happened before or afterwards. But for 52 years, I still remember that school teacher saying to another teacher, "I like Charles." Why do you think I remembered that? Now you think you know, but you don't. I'm going to tell you why. Because at 5 years of age, I did not have a father. My mother had to work all the time, and so she left early in the morning, and she came home late in the afternoon. And so I had no security whatsoever. None. 5 years of age, I was too young to be in school to begin with. And I felt totally out of place. And when this school teacher said, "I like Charles." Me? Unbeknown to her, what she was saying is, what she gave me is a little sense of security that somebody liked me when I didn't feel, at that time in my life, I'm sure, very secure about anything. Now, all of us have those feelings. Now, I could give you some other feelings that are not quite so pleasant. And I can remember something somebody else said to me that was very devastating. You see, as a child, we accept what we hear from an adult. And I can remember somebody saying to me, "You won't ever amount to anything." It took me a long time to deal with that feeling. I'll tell you what happens to you. When you grow up, you have those feelings that somebody plants in your life. You believe them for a long time, but you don't realize you believe them. And all the time you're wrestling with them, you're trying to overcome some false guilt that's there planted by someone else. First of all, you've got to acknowledge, yes, I do feel guilty. Sometimes it may be difficult to identify exactly what caused it. And it's really been a real challenge in my own life. It's been a wonderful, exciting, painful journey for me personally through the years for God to unfold, pull back the covers on my life, peel off the skins of the years, and show me things that I did not know about myself, and bring me to a wonderful sense of freedom, liberty that I could never thank Him for as long as I live. Pure grace of God. And it all boils down to this. I either have to choose to believe what He said about me and be free, or I have to choose to keep on following my feelings and living in guilt and suffering and unnecessary pain. Thanks be to God. When I tell you He'll set you free, I can tell you, my friend, He will set you free. And it boils down to a simple truth. Once you identify what that guilt is all about, and it may be something so insignificant to anyone else, but very significant to you, once you identify it, here's the key. In New Testament days, when a man went to prison, they would put outside of his prison door a little script of what he was guilty of and how long he had to serve. And when he'd served his time, they would give him that certificate signed, paid in full, or something in that order. So then when anyone questioned him, where he was, what was going on, all he had to do is to pull this out and say, here's the proof. I've paid my debt in full. Now I want you to do something. I want you to take your Bible in your hand. The next time Satan attacks you with those guilty feelings, you just remember this. This is God's wonderful personal letter to you and to me, His children. Our sin debt has been paid in full, and we are no longer guilty. That's the testimony of the Word of God. And Lord Jesus, how grateful we are. How loving You are to forgive. And as You said, never remember what You have forgiven us for, but to take us just where we are, keep on growing us up, keep on developing us, so that the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is within us, would become more and more evident as the days go by. I pray for those who are lost and who feel terribly guilty, that they might understand that Jesus today is willing to forgive them and set them free. I pray, Father, for those who are living in sin and do not feel any guilt whatsoever, that the Holy Spirit would penetrate their hard, cold, indifferent heart and convict them of their sin and place the fear of future judgment and punishment within them, lest they go on in their wicked and vile, evil, sinful, blind, darkened way and stand before the judgment one of these days and be condemned by their own sin forever and ever and ever into eternal separation from You. And then, Father, for all of us who are believers, I pray that You'll grant us the wisdom not to forget, not to set it aside, not to say it's too painful, but, Father, to love You enough and to love ourselves enough to keep on pursuing until we've found out why do we feel what we feel, and then to deal with it by simple faith. I pray that You would take away any shame anyone would have about going to a counselor, that they might be willing and understand that love reaches out to those who are hurting and those who are in need, and that their going to a counselor is giving the counselor the privilege of expressing the love of God to them in return. And Father, I pray for those who have fears and feelings of guilt they cannot identify. Place within them such a deep, yearning, hungering, thirsting desire to be what you want them to be. They will not stop in their pursuit until they have identified the source of the problem and have been willing to deal with it. And with the Bible in their hand and the truth in their heart, know that they hold within their hand and written indelibly upon their heart is your divine certificate which says, your sin debt has been paid in full. You are free. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.